Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving. Whether it's Feast Week, Turkey Week, Thanksgiving Week, whatever. It's a great week. And we'll get to all the games in a second. But before we get started, there's two things I just want to mention quick. First, SV Pod this week. Scott went all in on Thanksgiving Day. What's the perfect plate? And what comes on that? Desserts, the whole nine. Scott and I went at it. Take a listen to that. We'll get Bear's take on his perfect plate in a second. Listen and follow SV Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And watch NBA Today, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. Or listen to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. Bear, Feast Week, what is it? How are we doing? We hanging in? This is around the time of the year.
We're hanging in.
Weather's changing.
We're a little under the weather, so sleep's been an issue this week. So I'm a little out of it, and I'm looking at all these games, and I think they just look like a whole bunch of games that I want absolutely nothing to do with, but I'm sure I'll get inspired from talking with and listening to you, and by the time I have to write the column later, I'll find like 8 or 9.
Awesome. First things first, we have had plenty of people reach out to me. Can you turn your devices off in the background with the dinging?
Yes. I feel bad about that. I usually remember to turn the email off, and I totally left it up last week. So
it's probably just Herb Street looking for info anyway. We know that when he always
exactly. Yeah, all sorts of random crap. But yes, the email is now off, so I apologize for that. So thank you. That some people were more polite about it than others. So.
Yeah, exactly. As it happens, but we got to take care of people. So yes. We're ready to go. Bear's got people coming to him, and then he's headed out. I got people to come see me. We got an enormous Ansonia Naugatuck matchup Thanksgiving morning in the state of Connecticut. We could touch on in a little bit.
Are you coming up? Are you going?
Looking for a stream. Can't find one. Lines all over the place,
big,
Bear.
Can you send Big Mike?
Big Mike's going to be there. Big Mike's already ready. He's probably getting his ankles taped up. Okay, all right.
Big Mike's just got to take the iPad or the iPhone and just sit there for two hours.
Big Mike's not the most technically sound person. We're lucky enough if he gets to listen to this podcast every week. But anyway, we got a lot going on. I don't think there's much with the state of the rankings that we've gotten into every week. I think it's what it is. You did the show last night.
Yeah.
Obviously, Notre Dame people want to come for your head because they think you don't like their team. Imagine that one.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. Why? Because it would be the worst resume of any playoff team ever.
Did you know?
I mean, it's a fact.
Yep.
I mean, even that Michigan State team, which was probably the worst team ever to make the playoff, they had the win in Columbus. Was it a fluke? Yeah. But they still went there and won. Like you're talking about, and the irony is, and now Cincinnati people are going to hate me as well. Like you could wind up with like the two worst resumes ever to make the playoff if you have an undefeated Group of Five team whose only win is over the worst resume. To make the playoff and noted so like that 2016 Washington team might be supplanted here really soon. But hey, expand the playoff, right? We need more teams. We need more bad quarter and semifinals. That's all we're gonna wind up. All we're gonna wind up with is two bad semifinals. If that's what we get. But no, I think it's a legitimate question here. Like, you look at the resumes. If Oklahoma or Oklahoma State wind up being winning Bedlam and then winning the Big 12 championship, what those teams will have done on their resume with the quality wins will be better than what Notre Dame has done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of think that they're a placeholder.
Okay.
That's nothing against, I love the people that say you hate Notre Dame when like, And I brought it up before how my wife's entire family went to Notre Dame and her grandfather served in the administration at Notre Dame. Yeah, I truly hate them and have no respect for her family and their school whatsoever. I have a very good friend who she's Georgia, like Notre Dame global brand. Yeah, but I hate Notre Dame, but believe what you want.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks too in this circumstances this year where all my Notre Dame fans reach out Saturday night and be like, wow, Stanford really not good this year, huh? No, they have three wins. You're 20-point favorites on the road. What do you think's going to happen? All right, you waited all year to let me know now. I'm watching the game too, okay? I've watched every week. I know what we have. And that's why Notre Dame will be on my pad later on when we get to the picks for a couple. I think I've been on them a month straight. But no.
Has that worked out?
Yeah. So, hey, that happened.
That's the thing, too. You mentioned about Notre Dame. You're going to say, Stanford. That's part of the problem, too. And again, if I were on the committee, that'd be something that I would be looking at, kind of just like dissecting the knowing and watching and paying attention. Like, you can't have your playoff statement over the last month be a win over a 2-8 Navy team, a win over a 3-8 Georgia Tech team, and a win over a 3-8 Stanford team, along with the win over a 6-5 Virginia Tech team that didn't have Brennan Armstrong. Like, that's their last month.
Yep.
Because all these other teams are playing conference championship games, and the Big Ten's having their round robin, and the Pac-12's having their round robin. Like that's their – they're combating it with that.
Yeah,
like that should come into play, I would think, in decision making. But who the hell knows if we're sitting there at the end of the year and we got Georgia, Notre Dame in one semi and Cincinnati, Ohio State in the other. Fine. It's just going to set up for the title game that everybody wants and deserves outside of Alabama. And that's Georgia, Ohio State.
Speaking of Alabama, I will say too, the Notre Dame, I mean, it isn't their fault that North Carolina pooped their pants this year. Right. USC, Stanford, as you pointed out. It is. I do remember, though. Remember the NCAA tournament would always factor in the last 10. Remember that? That was like,
and then all of a sudden it went to like last 12.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of it for some reason.
Yeah.
Why did you get rid of it?
I don't know.
How you playing going into the tournament should matter for something, at least in terms of seeding.
No doubt. I'm with you. And that's my biggest problem still with the NCAA tournament is the seeding of that tournament. I think it's a joke, and I don't think the work gets put into it that should. But anyway, we'll get into that in March when time comes. But you mentioned Alabama.
By the way, is he big game Friday night, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
If it's interesting. My friends at FanDuel.
Yeah.
One of the preseason things that they had was this Gonzaga like prop, will Gonzaga go undefeated and win the national title? And they allowed wagers on that. Like you could basically, like, if you wanted to hedge something against it, like a Friday play your Blue Devils on the money line.
Okay.
Like if they don't lose, if Gonzaga doesn't lose Friday, then they're not losing till March. So
I don't know about that. WCC looks pretty good this year. Okay,
yep.
St. Mary's, sure. BYU, watch out.
Okay.
Marriott Center will be rocking.
Okay, we'll see.
All right. We'll have a wager on that. There's no way Duke's beating Gonzaga, by the way. So you can have fun.
Okay, there you go.
One.
You're starting already.
All right. Okay. But if I go back to Alabama, you mentioned I made it a point earlier this week. Our good friends, Greg McElroy and Cole Kubelik, have a great show down in Birmingham. And I've been to it a bunch, and I just can't get over the hate people have in that rivalry. And obviously I understand you're going Ohio State, Michigan. That's a little different just with the dominance we've had. Mm-hmm. But Alabama, this segue, and hearing people call in and just talk about the hatred and why they hate them and making fun of each other's diplomas and this and that, it gets me to Thursday night. Because when you want to talk about genuine hatred, I think Ole Miss and Mississippi State really, really are at the top of the list. Because you're not talking about a giant difference, I would guess, in educations. You're not talking about a giant comparison and great programs over the year. You are just flat out talking about hatred of people of one another. And that's why it's so awesome. And that's why I cannot wait for Thursday night. I did talk to McElroy. He is actually gave me the insight. It's probably there's like an 88% chance of rain in that game. So do what you want with that. You know, obviously Ole Miss's overs have been inflated like crazy this year. They've might have hit maybe one or two. But they, I mean, they're not even close. And with rain factored in, we both know how, you know, both teams like to run the, I should say throw the football. So it makes up for a fascinating matchup in Starkville Thursday night. I know you'll be watching anything you have to offer on that game.
Yeah, it'll probably be a an under type game for me with that, the short passing game of the ball control attack offense, a mistake, and the rain will probably eliminate some of the bigger plays from happening. But what you do see a lot of times is bad surface, bad footing can create some missed tackles and some, yep, some blown plays. So I'll probably just sit here and watch the first half with the family before heading to bed and getting up at about 3:30 in the morning for my 5:30 flight on Friday morning to Detroit. So I might not even make it to the end of this game, to be honest with you.
Maybe a live wager at halftime to go to bed to,
and just to wake up in the morning and kind of see what happened, the way I can get my day off to a good start or bad. So yeah, I really don't have my instinct would be play Mississippi State here. That's my hunch. Mm-hmm. But if you need a little Thanksgiving wager, but it's nothing I feel like super about.
Yeah, I was thinking Mississippi State all week, and then with the weather, I trust Ole Miss's run game way more. But it's a sit back and watch for me. You touched on your 5:30 a.m. flight Friday to Detroit. Give me a little sense of what we're looking at here. We got a big dynamic of Herbie, the Ohio State guy. We got Desmond, who did a great job last week trolling the Columbus crowd coming out with the NWO theme. That was tremendous. And that's why Desmond is great. But I mean, obviously it hasn't been close lately, but that dynamic, is there any words exchanged? You know, this is legit. I don't think I was going through Ohio State's road schedule. I think the toughest road games were at Minnesota and at Nebraska, and Stroud showed glimpses there of struggling on the road. I think this crowd is going to be a whole different animal. And with that defense, can they muck it up? Can they make that pocket messy for him? Give me what you got.
You talked to the Minnesota. I think there were both circumstances in those two road games. So the Minnesota game was his first career start. Mm-hmm. And then in the Nebraska game, he did not have Garrett Wilson. Yeah. So I think you can point to a couple of things in those in those games. But no, there's no, like you were talking about Cole and Greg and like the hatred and the animosity between maybe fans are different.
Yeah.
But I've noticed like amongst like Ohio State and Michigan players, like there really isn't any hate. It's more of like a mutual respect, mm-hmm, and they actually want to see the opponent have as good of a record as possible when they play them. So Dez and Kirk have a kind of just like a respect for each other and what they did for their alma maters and the other did. Just on that one day, they want to kill them, but everything else, it's kind of a weird dynamic to watch play out. And I guess it's kind of what a lot of people outside of the Big Ten will kind of make fun of, oh yeah, we root for everyone and then go to the Rose Bowl. And so, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yesterday was,
might even get to hang around for like a half.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to before, where you're before, going. Cause yeah, there's going to be that. Speaking of hatred.
Get on over to Stillwater.
There we go. It is. Yesterday was, we were trying to get in the show and our show collapsed. Last night, and when I say collapse, it means it gets shorter because we followed a live event. If anybody had a chance to see Scott Head, Dickie V on after the game, which was just tremendous, and really gave you some perspective on what Dick's gone through and all the good stuff that he's done. I know you've worked with him for years, but it was just a real punch in the face for me when he told the story of exactly what he was going through. And, It was really good. So, I'm fired up. This week, it feels like every year we get to this pod and I'm so fired up for it, but it's just, I mean, with all that's at stake in these rivalries, and I think about the seniors the last time buckling it up, and now this year you get to have your families and your fans at the game. I just hope these guys have taken it all in, because when it's over, and there's no going back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With that, you'll be headed to Ann Arbor, which would be awesome. I'm looking at the slate. Friday, I believe we got 16 games. And I don't understand why Texas is still favored. Can you help me with that one?
That's disgusting.
Because they have the name Cache. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Like, Texas as a favorite and betting on them, expecting them to win after they continue to lose. Why would you bet Texas? Seriously.
I don't know. I can't. I can't do it. It's just puzzling to me. Cause you know, Kansas State's going to try and come in and just run it down their throat. There's also a game that switched the line on Friday, which I always make it a point to watch because it's also been a rivalry where
I know what game we're going to talk about, and I can't wait for this one.
Is this Iowa at Nebraska?
No, it's not that one.
Oh, all right. Well, let's get to Iowa, Nebraska, because plenty of people have reached out about this story that's gotten some traction. It deals with a man that's named Milton Munson, and he was a diehard Nebraska fan, and he, in his obituary, it has been posted that it says, in lieu of flowers, please place an irresponsibly large wager on Nebraska beating Iowa. This is astounding to me. I know people out there are all over the story. I know we can only do a pod once a week, but I appreciate people reaching out and letting us know it. A local radio host got a hold of it and started a Venmo and GoFundMe for the fans to donate to the bet. It's over $6,000, all on the Nebraska money line. Proceeds are going to go to Nebraska charities. Look for it online. The story I saw was from the Hastings Tribune. There's been plenty of stories about the Midwest and how one of the books out there in Iowa is actually closer than Nebraska, and they've just gotten crushed with Nebraska money. But that book's got to be doing pretty well, seeing how Nebraska's done the last couple of years. But I'm fired up. It obviously changed. Nebraska was a 3.5-point favorite when it opened, and then the Martinez news comes out. He's out. Now both teams don't have the quarterbacks they started the year with. Iowa has not looked good since they made the move. I think Padilla was 6-17 last week against Illinois. Iowa -1.5 against Nebraska. Your thoughts?
What, you mean you can't bank on getting positive, like +3 turnover margins and scoring, like non-offensive touchdowns? That doesn't happen for like 11 or 12 straight games. Eventually that's going to stop, and you're not, without a competent offense, you're not going to be able to continue to win games.
I don't think so. You mentioned,
but on that story alone, I don't care. I don't care if Adrian Martinez, Eric Crouch, Keithan McCann, I don't care who I'm on. Nebraska's going in the column. Just on that.
There we go.
What other logic do I need than that? GBR, baby.
There we go. It's that time. I just can't get over it. We've had George Kittle on the show a bunch, and just his feelings toward Nebraska are something I've never had, but that's Iowa people.
You know, he's a big fan?
Not really.
Big fan, right?
Yeah. He's had choice words for Nebraska. And listen, he's had pretty much a lot of success against them. So I'll give it that. The game Friday.
Iowa hasn't.
Yeah. The game Friday you are fired up for is
Apple Cup.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for Wazoo to like get that win. And that's the thing. You look, it's a kind of a theme with some of these, with Iowa, Nebraska, with the Apple Cup, like a team that hasn't had a bunch of success in the rivalry lately, for an opportunity to kind of get their rival in a spot where they're not really accustomed to. Like I'm rooting for Wazoo on Friday. I want them to win. I want those players to go out a winner in this game after everything that they've been subject to this year. We had Colorado last week against Washington, and we'll see if UW can jump. I'm sure they will put forth a pretty good effort this week, especially on their home field with Wazoo being a slight favorite now. But I'm pulling for Wazoo, and I don't know if I'm going to put them in the column or not, just because I don't want to put the ultimate whammy on them, but I'd love to see the Cougs get a win here.
I'm with you there. I'm not sure that they're going to make a column. I will be having them that night game Friday night, which sets up great. I've talked to plenty of guys who have played in this game, and it feels like the last 5 years that we get to the point where it's like, all right, this is Wazoo's best chance. This is Wazoo's best chance. Yep. This is Wazoo's best chance. You're favored on the road. Go get it done. And it's just amazing to me, the two hires of head coaches that never even got to coach in this game, and Rolovich and Jimmy Lake. It's crazy to me to see where we are with that. And it's, for me, it's about the players. And I hope they both play well and we have a great game. I know I'll be watching, but that's going to be a fun one, the Apple Cup Friday night. Saturday, I think I have to get rid of the self-imposed ban on noon games. I have to.
Well, there's so many of the games are at noon, right?
Yes. Well, one sticks out, and then another one sticks out. The first one.
Do it.
Why is Maryland favored?
That's disgusting.
There's no way they're winning this game. No way. I don't see it.
I've heard Rutgers has a nasty flu bug ripping through the program.
Okay. So that's
probably why. They probably heard that, and that's the – but yeah, well, why – yeah, I don't think
– that sun shining off the Piscataway turf, winds will be a factor. I have to give Rutgers in this instance, and maybe the noon streak just continues, and Maryland wins, and Maryland goes to a bowl game, and Rutgers doesn't. But I just don't – Maryland doesn't do anything well. And I just trust the toughness of Rutgers in this matchup. I will have Rutgers on the page.
Did you just create the new school athletic slogan for Maryland? Maryland doesn't do anything well. Is that like a new should they put that in like their admissions application when they're recruiting people?
I don't think so.
What you do, it's the dot dot dot. And then you turn the page, and there's a picture of the tall man.
Oh, okay.
See, yes, very we good. Did you something well. We
very
we
good.
Buck Van Pelt.
And then the other one, Bear, is our man, Mr. Windhorse, in the Kent State Flashes. Underdog at home. And this just shows me Ohio. Like, Michigan, Ohio State's on at noon Eastern. Kent State doesn't care. We're playing. We're playing at noon. We got a MAC game. And it goes back to Maryland. I think if Kent State played Maryland this week, Kent State would beat them. So I believe Kent State will be in the column. No more Maxion. But I look at Kent State, and I like them in that game against Miami of Ohio.
But that's you got like the cradle of coaches game there with Miami of Ohio. And the Ohio State connection. So, yeah, at least they don't have a home game opposite of Miami again against the Ohio State Michigan.
Yeah, true.
That might not be like well attended if that game were there opposite that game.
looking at anything.
What you want a nooner?
Yes.
What do we expect the team total to be for the Yellow Jackets at home against the University of Georgia at Athens? What do we expect the Georgia Tech team total to be? What would you think?
Okay,
I don't know what it is. I don't think it's up yet.
I'll counter that with, will it be higher than UConn? UConn catching 32 and a 56 high total. It's kind of similar. 10? They're saying Georgia minus 35, 54 and a half. They're calling for a 45-10 game, right?
Georgia Tech scoring 10 points.
If there's any time Georgia's going to call the dogs off early to get ready for next week, right? And if there's any way Collins can make that respectable, he is not going to stop. He won't stop.
That's a good point about the second half of that game with Georgia having Alabama the week after. You don't need something stupid happen, especially
not at all.
You had Nolan Smith get hurt and Wyatt was that's a good point. Then again, the backups are much better than what Georgia Tech's putting on the field anyway. So
yeah, I guess it would be 10, right? I think I would take the over on Georgia Tech. I think I would.
45-10, yeah.
Just because I know he's going to do anything he can to score double digits. Anything. You'll see every trick play imaginable. Good luck if you can get the trick play off now against Georgia. But it sets up perfectly for next week. I just a thought on the line in Ohio State and Michigan. It's up to 8.5.
It's going to hit 9. It's going to hit 9. So if you want Michigan, just keep waiting.
All right. So here's what I have to say about this. I can't look at this game and not think Michigan is the right side. And when I say that, this is what I mean. We are coming off Ohio State absolutely destroying Michigan State. Just doing whatever. I mean, you were there. They did whatever they wanted. They scored the first 7 possessions.
It was definitely the first
6.
It was definitely the first 6.
Yeah. Okay.
That might have been the first 7. I know the last two weeks they've scored touchdowns on 13 of 15 first half drives, which is pretty good.
And they come out, they move up to 2 in the poll, in the rankings, whatever you want to say. And that number just sits there at 8 or 9. That tells me a lot about what the guys in Vegas think about Michigan. And that's what feels different to me than years past. I'm not there. I don't think I could do it with Michigan, but it just tells me that there is a lot of strong feelings towards Michigan. And if I'm a Michigan fan, I gotta feel as good as I have been in this game in a long time, right?
Well, I mean, the difference in the hope being that Mike McDonald's defense is going to be different than what old Donnie Brown was running out there the last few years. And Brian Day and Urban were just shredding it on the offensive side of the ball. So that's the hope that with the job Owen Hutchinson, they can get pressure on Stroud and force him into some problems and some turnovers and slow them down. But like that, I'm trying to play this game out in my head. And think what's the more likely scenario total pace? And I guess it ultimately boils down to is, can Michigan keep pace offensively with Ohio State? Mm-hmm. If Michigan can't get stops and Ohio State's able to just, if the deep stuff isn't there, and they're able to just run and dominate and run some shorter passes and they still score. Can Michigan, are they good enough offensively and through the air to be able to have success and stay with them score for score? So I haven't gotten there yet, but I think if this game were to hit 9 or 9.5 to be able to buy it to 10, I would have to take Michigan, I think, at that point.
I think it's an under game because Michigan, if they have the lead, obviously they're going to want to keep the ball and, and keep them. I think field position's huge. Keeping, you know, Ohio State on the other side of the field and on those thirds downs, getting the crowd involved and keeping Stroud uncomfortable. I think they could do that. I'm curious to see what the first half number is, because if Michigan doesn't cover the first half, they got no chance to me. No chance. So that's what I would look at there, because you're probably going to get a generous number, knowing that the line's going up and the favorites always, you know, give a shade more in that first half instead of splitting a number down the middle. So I can't wait to see it. But it's just something that stuck out to me, like thinking about this the whole time, knowing what Ohio State's done to Michigan, and they just come out there and lay a single digit number. I just feel it tells me something, because I still haven't been there with Michigan. I think it's good for the sport if we see some new teams in there, and I'll be interested to see what happens, but I don't think Michigan has a shot if they can't cover the first half.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can I just go back to Friday really quickly?
Oh, absolutely.
Are we just assuming that Cincinnati's going to go to Greenville
I knew you were
and win easily over our guy? They lost by a touchdown at Houston. Lost UCF by four.
Lost by a field goal in
South Carolina. Should have won the game. Like, last year was a complete blowout. 2 years ago, they probably should have beaten Cincinnati.
They should have beaten them.
In like 14 seems like a lot, but I think people are like gonna do like the go from one extreme to the other this week. Oh, Cincinnati, they're in the top four now. Oh, they got right last week against SMU. Oh, they're gonna blow out East Carolina. Like, I don't know, man. I'd be careful here.
I'm with you there. I just you guys had Fickell on the show last night. I mean, I think he's what you want in this kind of situation, knowing where they've been when they've gone there, and knowing what they were showing, what they were capable of last week. But yeah, that's a lot in a game, in a team that you know that can put points up. ECU's got to tighten things up late in the game. They almost blew that to Navy last week with the end of game scenario, getting the field goal off. I'm with you. I'm fired up to watch that one. I believe that's 3:30 ABC. So plenty of eyeballs on that. Talking to people down in East Carolina, they couldn't be more fired up. They're going to a bowl. That's what Ehlers came back for. It's a real, real feel good story to see that team. I mean, because they didn't start off the year great, and they had all those expectations the last couple of years. And people will say, you know, he turned the ball over enough, but I'll take that kid on my team, man. I think he's a battler, and he hasn't given up, and he's shown what leadership does. And that's, to me, I was going to save it for the bowl podcast, but just to touch on it, it's really good to see guys appreciate and getting to go to a bowl game, because I feel like it's a dying breed, man. And it's all I ever played for when I was playing. It's what you play for, and getting those extra weeks of practice and hanging out with your guys on campus and nobody's there, and going to a bowl and getting treated like royalties. Like, that's the good stuff. And I feel like with the playoff, it's minimized things, which we all saw coming. But it's programs like that haven't been the one in a while. That's good stuff, knowing that they're going to be doing that. So Friday, I'm just trying to look at anything else. North Carolina is I can't.
Did you bet North Carolina?
No way.
I wouldn't either.
No.
Like, I think I've heard people talk like watch out. Like, I don't know, man.
No,
that defense is terrible.
Awful. Especially late in the year, you want something to do. The one is Army's getting 3.5 from Liberty. And Liberty just had Louisiana come in and give it to them. I know Army's really struggling out against Wake Forest, but I don't think Liberty's offense is Wake Forest.
No.
I would look at Army there as a dog on the road, knowing what's on the horizon there. Miami's going to Durham, 21.5. That Duke defense was non-existent against Louisville. What else? Roadrunners. How about Miami, the Roadrunners?
I can see Miami putting a number up on them.
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah. I thought it was an easy over that Thursday night game. I gave it out on wager. Duke Louisville. That it was 60. I'm like, that's there's no chance there's gonna be any defense. Roadrunners, double digit favorites on the road. I was looking at this over. North Texas has scored a lot of points lately. And that's what they do. And they got a bunch of wins in this last half of the year. Roadrunners maybe still celebrating that crazy win against UAB, knowing that they're playing next week. I think maybe they're a little sluggish coming out. I don't want any part of giving 10.5, but I look at the over. Both teams score a ton. It's only 59.5. I look at that. I had that over circled. That might make the column. Anything interest you in the Iron Bowl?
No. No, I mean, I would.
Me neither. I was really looking forward to it.
I was looking for a reason to want to play Auburn plus the points, but how can you? I mean, that's a hard ask.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the quarterback deal with Finley being in there instead of Nix. It's just everything kind of.
Yeah, well, the way Auburn has turned things for the worse the last couple of weeks, like I was really looking forward to Bo Nix and Auburn hosting Bama, knowing that everybody was talking about Bama going to the SEC championship game and playing Georgia, and now it can't figure. Speaking of Bama though, that catch that got reviewed by Jameson Williams in the end zone, the back end, I still don't know how that's a catch.
I did not see that.
I obviously gave it the under last week. It was already all.
Yeah, I was traveling back. I was traveling back, okay. And I had one of those little TVs that they were one of the planes that did not have.
Oh, one of those planes. Seats,
one of those CRJs. So I did not have access to a good stream. So I did not see it.
All right.
Yeah, but by the way, that out with the Auburn, like the Harsin stuff, kind of hanging over the
bike.
Yeah, it's just not a. Not a game I really want.
There's nothing. It's hard to find some positives there. Like, yeah,
it is.
You know, right? I mean, I think back to last year. I know Alabama's offense isn't last year's offense, but it's pretty darn good when you match it up against this Auburn defense. But it's been a while since they won there, so they have that going for them. Are you going to be giving out your Beavers again this week?
I can see that.
I got, and
the reason I could see that is I have that Oregon over 9 wins season bet going. So okay. This could be one of those where I take Oregon State plus the points for a little bit up against the over 9, and maybe Oregon wins 35-31 and I win both.
There we go. Now we're thinking. Now you got a little Gatorade in you. Now you're going. We got it churning now. I like it. Michigan State can't play as bad as they did last week.
Well, they have played that bad in spurts
this year. I mean.
But I just don't know. Like, have you seen an updated status on Sean Clifford?
I have not.
Like, if he doesn't play, like, why is this game even close to a pick?
No chance.
If Clifford isn't playing.
No chance.
Their defense was able to just to get the win against Sunge last week, but that was because of how bad Sunge's offense was.
Yeah.
But I guess he's going to play. I guess it was. Like everyone else has kind of gone through a bed, as I can tell you, and almost with flu or whatever. But I guess he is supposed to be back this week, so that would be a positive.
Mm-hmm. I like Virginia. I thought watching that game last week with Pickett and Armstrong, I think Armstrong's a better quarterback. And I just think Virginia has, I mean, we know Fuentes is gone now at Virginia Tech. Virginia gets back home. They haven't played a home game on Armstrong in a while. I just think that offense is that legit. I don't want to talk about their defense, but I think they could ramp it up in a rivalry game against Virginia Tech offense that's not been good. I do give Virginia Tech credit for going down to Miami and battling last week, But I just feel like Virginia has everything going offensively, and I'll lay the 7 with Virginia. I believe that's a 3:30 Saturday.
3:45.
There we go.
Third time.
Minnesota, any shot against Wisconsin?
I like them here.
Yeah?
I do. I mean, I think they'll be okay defensively. And again, Wisconsin's not going to put up a million points.
No.
I wouldn't think. Now, how many points is Minnesota going to be able to score? But I kind of think Minnesota's the red side here.
I'm just scarred from Minnesota still from that Bowling Green game. Would you rather take Minnesota plus... Would you rather take Minnesota plus the 7 at home or LSU plus the 6.5 at home against A&M? That line stinks.
That's disgusting.
I think I'd rather take LSU plus the 6.5.
Whoa. Okay.
And again, remember, what we did not discuss enough and realize was just how A&M true road games. Mm-hmm. All they had was that Missouri game going to Ole Miss, and then Ole Miss, mm-hmm. they had a problem. And I think it's going to be a pretty good environment in there on Saturday in Baton Rouge. I mean, I think
night game.
I think they will be in there. Like Coach O, his final game, looking to get bowl eligible. I don't think the players ultimately care about that because they'll all sit the game anyway, but I think it does matter, and I think that there is an appreciation to Coach O on that team. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them have tuned him out, but he'll want to win that game, or if not, keep close. I can see LSU showing up there in a night game in a raucous environment, and Coach O running off with the double L's like.
Oh yeah,
I could see myself being on LSU this week.
I think a couple people will be chirping at Jimbo. Just a couple on the walk into the stadium.
What will they be chirping? Come take our job or other things?
Nah, probably other things. knowing how loose they could get on Thanksgiving weekend with a Saturday night game at home. I love my people down there, but it'll be interesting. I do. Now you say I do think it'll be a good atmosphere. Down there. Before we get to the game, you're going to the other night games. I've been on Clemson the last couple weeks. I don't want any part of giving 11.5 on the road in a team that I give a ton of credit to Shane Beamer for getting up off the deck the way they started things this year and being as close to, I mean, when's the last time they were this close to having a chance?
I mean, in theory, it's been a while.
Right?
For sure, probably since Spurrier.
And now you're still getting 11.5. Clemson, obviously, I had them when they went to Louisville because of that defense. The over-under is 43. I wouldn't touch the over in that game. I'll tell you that.
You want any part of SMU minus 6.5 with Dykes having 1 foot out the door? And it's a Tulsa team that plays hard every week?
No. No, I do not. Kentucky plus 3 on the road against Louisville.
I heard Louisville's. I remember how Lamar missed the game because of an illness. I heard Louisville's kind of got that same thing going on as well. I don't know if that was a thing where when Louisville retired his jersey.
Yeah,
but I've heard
that's not heard good.
Louisville, I heard Louisville's got a little bug working around as well. So.
Is BYU minus 7 at USC stink to you?
Yes, it stinks, but you can't play USC.
That's what I was saying. It touched 6.5, and I was like, whoa, that's weird to me. And here's what I look at with USC. I give them credit. They came out, and they battled last week. But, you know, USC, or I should say UCLA with Chip's offense, they're going to get you going side to side and then get guys going vertical. And you saw that. They get the kick return, and USC never could rebound from that. This week, they are going to get the ball slammed down their throat like they haven't seen maybe all year. And this one feels like a game you might tap out a little bit earlier if you give up a couple drives early on where they're just running it down your throat. So that's why I don't want to touch USC. I thought about giving out BYU. It's a night game. It's in the Coliseum. It's going to be all BYU people. There's going to be no USC fans there. So there's no sense of rallying. I'm just telling you, you'll see a lot. Now the camera's going to show the USC sideline as it always does. You'll see it that, but I'm behind the home team or the road team. It's going to be all blue. So I would think about BYU in that spot. That full number. I really want to see how BYU comes out in that game. Cal plus six.
It almost falls under like a GPG scenario for your boy, like general principle, like you got to play BYU.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. SC still does have some firepower, but like over the course of 60,
first sign that things are going south, that's when SC taps out.
And that's maybe a BYU first half. I don't know. Just so you see it, and then maybe if you don't see it, you feel good enough to get it back in the second half. I had it circled, but now I don't know. It feels too easy. It really does. Cal plus 6.5 at the Rose Bowl. Cal coming off that huge win.
I don't know.
Tough number. And then SC is going to play Cal next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, this got to feel like the never-ending season for you. both teams.
I got to ask my guy, because I'm still not sure what we're doing next week for what championship game we're calling. There's a chance we may still do.
Pac-12,
yeah.
Is there any room on one of them planes? I'll come out. Need a spotter?
Well, the plane. The plane issue isn't going out. The plane issue will be going from LAS to ATL to get through that get to Atlanta for college game day on Saturday morning.
Well,
but I was going to say because of that,
I don't have to be there for game day. I could get stuck out in 702. I can find a couple places.
Maybe you can work do a little daily wager.
There we go.
From Vegas next week. But there we go. The question I have is, I wonder if because the South Point conference win totals were all bets are action, I wonder if they'll cash my ticket for me on USC under conference wins before that game on Saturday, or if they're just going to wait until it officially is in.
No, they probably wait till it's officially in. Yeah, I'll know a couple guys if you need a hand.
Yeah, I might know a couple too, but I hate inconveniencing people. I can just wait till the end of January when I go back out for an HC. Not a big deal.
There we go.
I'm liquid these days. I'm good.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Accounts all over the place. I'm just trying to think. Anything else before we touch on Thanksgiving real quick?
I'm torn on this this Cal USC game. UCLA game, rather.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it.
I think UCLA is better. Mm-hmm. But you just wonder after a big win like that.
Correct.
I don't know.
Also, Cal. Been a while since they could celebrate a win, man.
Exactly.
You know?
And you got the Wilcox stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
The problem is
leaking. Maybe leaking.
Washington. I believe that was first reported in the Stanford Steve and the Bear pod about a month ago.
Yeah.
Now everybody else is. Last week on game day, everyone's talking about, like, well, what do you think, Bear? How about Justin Wilcox? Every now
and then. Out there.
Every now and then we kind of step in, you know what, and come out smelling like a rose. So,
like a little recess. Just throw the ball out there sometimes. Yeah. People want to play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Takes a little while for them to see the game.
I'm just not a big, ugly, overweight dummy with glasses. I kind of know what's going on.
All right. More importantly, what's on that first plate Thursday for dinner? Give me what's on that plate.
Turkey and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Whole cranberry sauce.
Oh, okay.
And green bean casserole.
No mashed?
I like sweet potato better than mash.
Okay. And this is the day to have that. You get mashed potatoes anywhere, right?
You get the sweet potatoes and you put a little brown sugar and some marshmallow.
Like gravy on the whole plate?
No. Great gravy on turkey. See, that's the tough thing. You need to kind of build a wall and a barrier to keep the gravy from going. You see, what I probably will do is I'll get a little small round bowl and put it on the side. That way you put the cranberry in there.
Okay. Just
gravy and cranberry, that's not a thing.
Stuffing in the turkey or out?
In.
There we go. Thank you. Of course. Golly, I've been getting ripped to shreds about this.
What's out? Come on.
They just bake it. They don't like too moist when it's in the turkey. I'm like, how else do you have moist? Stuff?
That's the purpose of it.
Exactly. Thank you.
If you want like non-moist stuffing, then just go grab a loaf of bread and just
have a biscuit. Good man.
What's your dessert?
This is my dessert, Bear. I gave this out, my recipe. It is when everybody eats dessert, go watch the football game, relax, and then when people are done eating dessert, go back to the kitchen, fire up some gravy on the stove, throw some more turkey in the gravy, toast open some Hawaiian rolls, get the Hawaiian rolls out, throw the turkey on there, and then throw some stuffing on there, and you got the best sliders you've ever had in your life.
Oh, my God.
So, no pies, no ice cream, nothing. Give me the leftovers right away.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Because then if you wait till Friday, people already beat you to it. You got to get it in Thursday night. Got
to
get it
in. I have to get it in Thursday night because I'm gone Friday morning.
There you go. Perfect. So I just want to say thanks to everybody. As we get done here, another incredible year. Like I said, really hit me last night, Dickie B and Scott talking. I just want to say thanks to everybody out there. I mean, I got a damn TV behind me with a cartoon of me and you on it. And I appreciate everybody, you know, listening to us, man. Like we've come this, Chad obviously starting it, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that he gave us and seeing what we've done since then. Thankful for being on with Scott. I mean, we did a damn segment last night on the show where we had a live cranberry out of the can on the show. We went through what we like and what we don't like. So I really just want to say thank you to everybody out there and thank you for being here every week. We had fun and try and help the people as much as we can. So thank you, my man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you and everybody involved in making this work, and the people certainly who listen. Been hanging in there through the good and the bad. We try and make it entertaining, and hopefully what makes it work is that people understand and realize that Steve and I are just normal dudes who kind of like everybody else out there. We just love the sport and love having some fun and try not to take ourselves too seriously. And hopefully that association, people see a lot of themselves in what we do. So, thanks again for everybody for another year listening and hanging with us, and hopefully over the bowl season we can bring it home strong. So I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
Does Oklahoma State do it this week?
Scary number, man.
Really scary.
Because it's just going up and up and up and up. I love their defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can score. Like I know Oklahoma's defense isn't any great shakes. But I don't know. I might wait and see and let the number dictate what I would do. Like if this number goes up to maybe 5 or 5.5 or whatever, I might go the other way with OU. If it ticks down to maybe 3.5 or stays there, then I think it would be Oklahoma State, which would be my play. But it's tough because I was thinking about this on the on our call yesterday when we have our game call with the producer and our production staff and Kirk. Mm-hmm. And like, I almost think like if you're Oklahoma State, like you'd rather play Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship game rather than Baylor. But at the same time, it's not possible because then you lose. Mm-hmm. In order for it to be possible, you have to lose. And then if you lose, you're probably taking yourself out of college football playoff consideration. So it's like it's a tough spot because I think Baylor, with what they do defensively, would be a big problem for them. Mm-hmm. On next week. And I know they did beat them once before.
Yep.
And I'm not a believer in the whole, it's hard to beat a team twice. I think that's a crock of but I think Baylor would be a tough ask next week. I think I'd rather take my chances with beating Oklahoma, keep my playoff hopes alive, and then see what we do next week.
I've been going back and forth with Oklahoma State people all week, and I'm like, if it's the same thing, if this isn't the year, when's the year? It's kind of like Wazoo. And you got to feel good knowing what you have instilled so far this year. But I do want to say, I mean, Caleb has not played well on the road. So if you're Oklahoma State fans, you got to feel good about that. I just wonder if Lincoln can have a couple tricks up his sleeve to throw that defense off and find something. That's what he gets paid to do, and that's what I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. So it's a no play for me.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
Big Mike Happy Recap for me. Right now, I'm going to go Notre Dame, Virginia, and Rutgers with the possibility of the Kent State and the UTSA North Texas over, possibly finding a way to the column. You, sir.
Nebraska in honor of our guy.
There we go. Hashtag Bill.
NC State. Iowa State.
Oh.
Holton Ahlers.
Oh.
Fire. Miami.
Just keep fire. Fire. Fire.
I'm literally just going down fire.
Hell yeah, you are.
Which is.
We're right around noon on Saturday now.
Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Yeah, we're getting down there. Yep, Kentucky.
All right.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State.
Mm.
BYU. Tulsa.
Okay.
Florida State.
Wow.
I mean, how could you play Florida?
I don't want any part of it.
I mean, we talk about like bowl eligibility mattering mm-hmm. for some teams. Like
some keywords.
Do you think Florida wants to go to a bowl game? You think they actually want to win and have to practice for another month? Are you kidding me? That's the ultimate lick the stamp game.
Mm.
LSU. And that's it. Hopefully, I can remember all of those.
Please put all those in the column.
I will. I will. The funny thing is, like, I put like 9 in the column last week, and there were like 3 that I didn't put in. And the 3 that I didn't put in, like, all wound up winning.
It's
funny, though. You think, well, I brought up on game day on for Saturday, like, we could do like a standings graphic in the SEC, like the 3 teams that aren't bowl eligible in the SEC mm-hmm. are Florida, LSU, and Vandy.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. Schwenk, thanks for helping out. Now the pressure's on you because people are going to want this as soon as possible. Thanks for helping out. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Bear, enjoy the holiday with people you haven't seen in a while. I know I'm going to do the same thing.
Yep.
Everybody out there, enjoy it. Any questions, hit us up at Chris Felique on Twitter, at StanfordSteve82. Anything. Great time of year. Enjoy it. Everybody deserves a good holiday. It's been a while. Feels like we're getting back there. And I'm just thankful for everybody. Bear, take us away.
I'm thinking about putting all those in the column. You think Bearman would love it? Dave Bearman, the one of the editors there over at ESPN Chalk. You think Bearman would love it? If I just did it like Boomer style.
Yes.
On holiday weekend, read them and weep. And you just list the games.
You can do whatever you want this week because Bearman just wants it. He just wants to hit that time. The deadline. He just wants that deadline
by then. Exactly.
Yeah.
I should do that. That would be great.
Go Gators, Dave.
For further information, listen to the pod.
Put the link after every pick.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.